This episode of TMS is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace.com. Go get a fantastic website made by using the best templates, tools available to anyone, anywhere. Squarespace.com has a free trial. You can go give it a shot without putting in a credit card or anything. If you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout. That'll get you 10% off your account. That's Squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. Coming up on TMS PM, blogger says no nudes.
Burt Reynolds says gets nude. That's really horrible. Norm MacDonald, Burt Reynolds impersonation.
Not too bad. I liked it. Share your farts.
Gaga is a real horror story.
Netflix likes gadgets.
Dan, the board game man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. PM.
That was a little late on that final PM there.
There was a little bit of suspense.
Yeah, suspense, everyone, suspense. Hey, it's me, Scott Jonathan. It's him, Brian Ebbett, and it's the morning stream PM. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. I don't need to ask you how you're doing because I can hear it in your voice.
It's pretty bad.
This cold is chewing you up and spitting you out.
Yeah, it ate me whole. I don't know. I haven't had anything like this in a long time. Well, like I keep saying, I've had this record and I shouldn't have evoked it. Like last week, mm-hmm. I think I brought it up
you
and said,
dangle that record in front mm-hmm. in front of you. And
yeah, I got to quit doing that because clearly there are supernatural forces at play here that said, look, you've had 2 years without a cold. How about the biggest one you've had in maybe 10 years? Like it's just knocking me on my arse. And there was no show this morning as a result, but I wanted to get something in today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, we're thinking of you all the time, thinking of you. And here we are thinking of you. All right. As we think of them, Brian, let's ease on into the content tonight. I know there's, we missed the Therapy Thursday today.
Yeah.
This may have been actually a really good chance to bring up this thing. So I'll do it now.
Okay.
Before I do, real quick, patreon.com/TMS is why this episode of the week is possible. You guys support us there and you hit a certain goal there and that's why we do it. If you want to contribute and continue to other awesome goals, please do, because that's why we have the fifth show and that's
it's
how we survive.
Because you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's why. Patreon.
TLDR, you guys are awesome.
Exactly.
And that's why we do this.
Thank you very much. Patreon.com/TMS. Okay, so here's the deal. I would have asked Wendy about this had we had a show this morning. Okay. And that's this. There's a news. Here's the headline. Blogger says, no graphic nudes. This is blogger like blogger.com.
Blogger.com, okay.
Not some guy.
Not a blogger.
Yeah.
Not
some dude.
Perez Hilton is not saying, no graphic nudes.
Yeah. There was this article today posted on Twitter about the doctor who had Ebola and how he... like how he was being either used as a scapegoat or later as a hero. He doesn't think he's either of those two things. A very interesting article, but the headline was awesome. It says, the very first part of it is Doctor Who had Ebola, which, you need a little clarification because it could have been Doctor Who for all we know that had Ebola. Anyway, so blogger says no graphic nudes. Reddit now says no posting naked people pics or sex pics without their consent. So if anybody wants to put a naked of anything, they have to have someone's consent. My guess is that kills all of it.
Well,
who will it include without their expressed consent?
You just won't have you just won't get any nude selfies, leaked selfies. But if somebody's posting something that some porn starlet has offered up on her site, then that sounds like it would be consent. That sounds like it would fall under. Or the people in the subreddits that have like fetishes, things like that,
mm-hmm. of themselves. Sure.
Consent. Here's me in a furry costume for except naked from the waist down.
Yeah, that's my wiener out. Hope you enjoy it. upvote my image.
I have not been spayed or neutered.
So, my understanding though is maybe even those now. The people on Reddit, but the ones that they pull off of the web, other places that may not count.
Yeah, because they're not. Probably not writing Christy Canyons and saying, hey, can we put your picture on, on Reddit?
Yeah, exactly. And unless they have her permission, regardless of what she puts on her own site, they're not allowing that. So it's a bad day for people who want to post these pictures everywhere. Google announced starting March 23rd, users of its blogger service Do they even care about that anymore? I guess they do. Anyway, I feel it. Doesn't it feel like
I'm surprised that there's still a blogger service? It's like Libsyn.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's still using Libsyn?
Yeah,
wow.
Yes. Huh. It just feels like something that they would let go. Like they weren't going to do it anymore. But anyway,
what was the name of the website tool that you could use and throw all those animated?
Oh, GeoCities.
GeoCities.
Yeah, yes. Remember that? That was good. There was always something dumb like that. And there's still some good blogging services, like the WordPress.com site is great. It's a place where you can go make a public blog, real easy to use. All the tools are there and stuff like that. I just don't think Google cares about Blogger. They just haven't done anything with it. It's the same dumb service it's been since forever, and it's ugly, and it looks like it was made in 2002. But anyway, they're still worried about it because they're not allowing anybody to share images or video with any quote-unquote sexually explicit or graphic nudity content at all. Exceptions will be made for things that offer a substantial public benefit, for example, in artistic, educational, documentary, or scientific contexts. So if Brian's showing off his left boob for science, we're in.
Here is an educational process of how you use a fleshlight.
Yeah, see? For public benefit. Brian's fleshlight usage. Meanwhile, Engadget reports Reddit's latest security policy prohibits posting of videos or pictures of naked people or having they're doing the duty without their consent. So what this probably heralds in, other than the consternation of a bunch of users, is maybe a sea change in at the very least how the mainstream services, because Reddit's pretty mainstream if you want it to be. If that's how you use that site, I mean, here's the truth of it, dude. I'm a little naive to this, but I didn't know until maybe a year ago that Reddit even had stuff like this, like dark corners in it. I didn't know that.
Oh, really? See, that's all I thought that Reddit had. It was funny that, you know, when I heard Tom start talking about the DTNS Reddit, I was like, well, that seems like an odd place to put that. It's like thinking, thinking that RedTube is YouTube.
Right. Well, in my case, Reddit was where everyone went when Digg got stupid. And so in my mind, that's that links sharing site that stole all of Digg's thunder. And to me, it was like, oh, that's where actors go to do AMAs. And, it was kind of a mainstream kind of front page to the web, like they call themselves, sort of thing where you share stuff. And if you go to Reddit.com, it's all news and articles and funny stuff. And, you know, there's the WoW subreddit for World of Warcraft is enormous, like big, giant communities. And I didn't know they had back alleys and red light districts and all that. I had no idea that was going on over there. So my point is, they're pretty mainstream.
Yeah.
The blogger certainly is because Google owns them, even if by only, the fact that Google owns them. If Yahoo makes a turnaround because they own Tumblr, and Tumblr is porny as all hell and back. Mm-hmm. If they make a turn like this, here's what I'm just making a prediction here.
Okay.
That... I'm obviously porn on the internet's always going to exist, but it will be pushed.
People might have to actually plunk down $60 a year to put up their own website to put their porn on.
Yeah. Or at the very least, they'll be forced to go find it somewhere else besides these mainstream companies' websites. Because up till now, they've been real quiet about it. Like Google image search is the thing you can put all kinds of dumb stuff in and get all kinds of horrible results. And you could actually argue that, if Google's going to do this with Blogger, why aren't they doing it with their own image search stuff? So, it's an interesting thing. I don't know where it goes or what happens, but I think there will be a shift on the internet so that, here's a good example. 7-Eleven will not sell you dirty magazines anymore. They used to, but they won't now. Hmm. So this is kind of like that.
I remember as a kid, they always used to have those in the back of the, the little island that the 7-Eleven employee worked from, right?
The lonely island, yeah.
Right, the little Sam the bartender island that they worked in the middle of. Mm-hmm. And then they had the shelf that had the porn magazines on it with a plastic cover that would always cover everything up but the title.
Yep, so you knew what it was.
Right, and you could tell,
selection.
The lady on the cover has red hair, apparently.
Yep, so some guy would go in there at night with his fake mustache, and he'd order up himself a nice...
Get a Slurpee and a Slim Jim and a Hustler.
Right, try to be all nonchalant about it. I witnessed that a few times. But they quit doing it. And so now 7-Eleven went from this mainstream convenience store that anybody could go into to mainstream convenience store that didn't have that stuff in it anymore. And then Circle K, although they're not around anymore and they got bought out, but Circle K did that. Maverick did that. Like all of these.
Yeah.
I just wonder, Brian, if the internet is heading to a time where the mainstream areas of it don't have these little back doors to the smutty business there. And instead, people got to go looking, you know. And it's not like it's hard to go looking, you know. But I just think it's an interesting shift. It's kind of what the brick and mortar people made. And now the internet's making it. People in France would just like to have it everywhere. People in Montana.
That's right.
Yeah. People in, I don't know.
Really, really hard to get at the local convenience store.
In France, you can get it on every billboard. Those people. Jeez.
That's right.
Anyway, so that's going on. A reminder that Nerdtacular tickets are going very fast. So I'll give you a comparison. Last year, it took 6 days to sell as many tickets as we've sold today. So in one day, we did better than the 6 days of last year. So that means, well, it means something. And what I believe that means is that you best get on it. All the special ones are gone. That I can tell you. Like the bonusy ones, Lunchtaculars, all that. Now we may add some additional upgrades that even people who previously purchased can still upgrade to if they want to. We're talking about that now because they went so fast. It was kind of a shock.
We didn't get much of a chance to talk about it. So the, we haven't even talked about like Frog Pants All-Stars, if we're going to do a thing again where folks can be a part of teams there.
Dave mentioned that. I think he's, I don't know, he and Corinne are leaning away from it, but I can't remember what the reasons for are. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. But yes, if that or other things crop up.
You guys are afraid of another Craig.
Oh, Craig was awesome, dude.
That I know, guy. That's what I'm saying. Have some guy come in the audience and show the other seven of you up.
Yeah, Craig was great. Craig was awesome. And you need to wear the afro again, if you don't mind. That was fantastic.
Oh, sure. The afro. That was a snow hat that I bought at the Snowbird gift shop or whatever it was.
A poor man's Trebek is what it turned out to be.
That's what it was, yes.
I liked it, though. Anyway, tickets, nerdtacular.com, available now. Get them while they last. I don't think they're going to last much longer. I think we're going to be out before you know it. So please do that. All right. How about this? How about we do some of this?
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news, and it's brought to you by...
Classic TV themes, songs from the shows you're watching now, and a caveman. Hear this and a whole lot more by searching for Little Tiny Dot in iTunes or by visiting podl.fm/LTD. Caveman sold separately.
Sounds good to me. So check this out. Take cover, ladies. Burt Reynolds has written a memoir. Speaking of Burt Reynolds.
Hey, that's funny that it's taken this long for him to do it, honestly.
I know. It is kind of, isn't it? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, and plus he's been in a bad way lately. It hasn't he been like no money, it's all spent.
Right, he's been selling his Smokey and the Bandit memorabilia and stuff like that, hasn't he?
Yeah. Sold his car. He sold Sally Field. What else? in his memoir, But Enough About Me, that's the name of it. I don't like names like that. They are disingenuous because the entire book's about him.
Well, yeah, that's the...
But Enough
You don't think
about
it's
me.
Ironic? You don't think it's...
I think it's snooty. I don't think it's ironic. In the memoir About Enough About Me, screen legend Burt Reynolds tells all about his life and his famous loves, including Diana Shore, Sally Field, and his ex-wife Lonnie Anderson. She had helmet hair. Remember that? She had a helmet.
She did, yeah.
She called it
Jennifer,
hair.
What was her? Jennifer Marlowe on WKRP.
She was the one I had the crush on. I liked,
really?
Yeah, I liked her. No, I'm sorry. The other one. Who was the...
Bailey Quarters, right?
Yeah, her.
Yeah.
I liked her.
Oh, everybody had a crush on Bailey Quarters. Yeah. She was the attainable...
Yes.
Like she was the down-to-earth girl that you want by your side.
Yeah, not Lonnie Anderson. Because if she's by your side, her helmet will hit you in the side of the face all the time.
Exactly.
He says,
she won't be able to hear you. Please turn your face towards me so you can hear me through that Aquanet-infested rat's nest you call a
helmet.
Cloth.
Yeah. Well, at least she's street legal. She can ride any bike she wants. She'll be fine. Burt Reynolds, age 79, says this, quote, I wanted to set the record straight. He told people about this. It's a magazine, not a group of people. About his book, it's out this fall. There's a lot more in the Star for Deliverance, or about the Star, in Deliverance, Smokey and the Bandit, and more. Recently, most recently, I guess, Boogie Nights. What else has he done since? I don't even know. It's been a while. Boogie Nights.
It has been a while. Yeah, Boogie Nights is the last...
He did some My Name Is Earl stuff, and that's about it, I think.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which was great, him and Norm. Mm-hmm. That was a great extension of the SNL bit, for sure.
Yes.
But anyway, let's see. Oh, he did a 72 nude centerfold for Cosmopolitan. Remember the hairy one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, ironic name. Just posted that in the chat room.
Yeah.
Not the a censored version.
Of course,
say.
Yeah. We don't want to see his wiener. Let's see. It says that apparently he once said to the Queen of England, "No to the Queen of to Queen Elizabeth." What does that mean? No to Queen Elizabeth. What does that mean?
Yeah, he said no. So who knows? What was she propositioning him?
Oh, gross! Really? Is that what that means? Yeah. Well, I guess she would have been. She's only in her 80s, so she wouldn't have been much older than
him. That's true. She would have been around the same age he was.
Oh, weird, dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's really weird.
Would you like to come over to Buckingham Palace and shag? Maybe come over for a snog and some tea?
No, he said. No. Turns out back in 2008, after Reynolds starred in A Bunch of Amateurs, a movie, I guess, about a washed-up actor, Reynolds, who arrives in a small British town to play King Lear, the Queen picked the movie for a special screening and invited the actor. That's what he turned her down for.
Okay. Well, we gotta read a paragraph ahead before I jump to these impersonations.
I really prefer yours, though. It says, I've turned down queens before, he joked. For more on the story, plus details on his 60 years in show business, they'll have to wait until his memoir comes out. Random House publishing it, coming to all the digital things. I kind of secretly kind of want to read it.
I'd like to see if there's a book on tape read by Will Wheaton. I'm all in.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Like Ready Player One. It'll be.
Exactly.
But enough about me. Read by Will Wheaton. Yeah.
You ever think about how goofy a publishing name is? Random House?
Yeah. It's always been weird to me. Random
Just
House.
Just bring your book to some Random House.
I'm guessing it's somebody named that. Like
probably.
Random House.
Larry Random?
Like, well, it says right here, Random House. That's somebody with the last name Random. Largest general trade book, blah, blah, blah. Part of Penguin Random House, owned by German media. Oh, Bartelsmann. They own the Bartels and James fortune. They own.
Oh, wait, really? The
same? Yeah. That's hilarious. history.
Drink
here we go.
Your wine cooler and enjoy.
That's amazing.
A Fabio covered. Romance novel.
Bennett Kerf.
They're not Harlequin.
Bennett Kerf and Donald Knopfler.
Oh.
No relation to Mark Knopfler, I don't think.
No, probably not.
They started the company 2 years after they bought something called Library Print. And then, let's see, Doubleday, Crowns. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they...
But doesn't give you any sort of etymology of the name?
Yeah, there's nothing. Hmm. That's really weird. Okay, well, maybe it is just random. If you think about it that way. Weird.
Pick a random name. Oh, let's call ourselves Random House.
Well, here's something random. There's a new app out that will allow people who love farting to share their audible flatulence with other like-minded individuals. Brian, the best part is yet to come. It's called Fartners.
Fartners.
You're my
nice.
Fartner. Yeah. Your partner, Fartner. Oh, my gosh. Fartners is a social network. So, yeah, another one of those. It connects people through farts. Yes, farts. Basically, it's very similar to Twitter, where you can follow and be followed by friends and celebrities. Come on. What celebrities?
So you record yourself.
Yeah.
And then share it among your fartners.
Yeah.
Follow me on Fartner.
They're really.
What is there? They're probably not follow me. It's smell me on Fartner.
Yeah. Is there a like button? Is there a favorite button? Ooh, that's my favorite fart. let's see. The result is a feed that is comprised of people's funniest moments and sets aside weather and political rants. Fartner is truly an app for the assholes in the world. Hey, I'm gonna find this.
Oh,
here.
Really? You've got.
Gonna see if I can link to it. it's an Indiegogo campaign, so it's not out yet.
It'd be great if the website was fartners.pu.
Yeah, right. Is there a PU domain? They should totally
do
that.
I don't know if there is, but there should be. There really should be.
There's. It's currently $1,600 out of 10,000. It's on Indiegogo because I'm guessing Kickstarter wouldn't take it. Here's the video. Let's play a piece of it. There's a guy sitting there watching TV. Okay. Oh, okay. He farted. All right. And he's thinking. He's smiling. He's nodding his head. And he wishes someone was there to share in it. But he's alone in his apartment.
Don't let your funniest moments go to waste. Share them on Fartners. Fartners, the social network or your ass.
They did it like a commercial. It's pretty good. All right, well, support it, dude. Get on that. Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, I don't see that funding.
No,
I guess Indiegogo doesn't matter, right? It, as long as
they don't care.
Yeah,
and they're, you get they're your money free
out
for all.
And
I don't think they give two crap.
Oh, dude, meeting's over.
All right. The devil farts. All right. I'll let you laughing. Remember that one? I made that one. Let's see.
Nice. You can see better and feel better.
There's one. That's a good one. How about this one?
Schmidt's Blue Ribbon Bread gives you...
You got a lot of mileage out of that.
I do. That one's pretty good. How about this one?
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
I think I shall now be sick.
All right.
What I like about that one is it sounds like they did some audio effect to make it sound like it's part of the show.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's not just a cut.
As far as I know, it's not actually part of it. Anyway.
No, no. I don't remember that. I remember pulling something out of the wrong hat.
Search for Fartners on Indiegogo, and you too can support this ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga. 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 What do you say?
Gaga.
Is it Lady Gaga? Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Okay.
There's no no emphasis put on either of the gas.
Do you think she ever gets tired of it, that name?
Lady Gaga.
Wouldn't you get tired of it? I mean, I feel like if you've got a doofusy name, like a thing you created for the stage, eventually you're going to be sick of hearing it, aren't you?
I don't know. I mean...
Like Sting. Does Sting get tired of it, do you think?
You never hear him say, I'd like you to call me Gordon now. Let's go back to Gordon. I think once you basically... When you start putting yourself out there as Lady Gaga, you're probably really happy when it catches on. And then I bet she doesn't even think of herself as, Stephanie Germanotti now?
Yeah, that is Stephanie, isn't it? Like Madonna and Bono and Edge and,
Madonna, that is really Madonna's name is Madonna.
Oh, I thought it was,
It's Madonna, Louise, Ciccone, Alfonso, Maria, Sergio, Pantone.
I would have gone with Pantone.
Franchetta.
Yeah.
Stromboli, I think is her whole name.
When you're here, your family. Mm.
That's right, yes.
Well, anyway.
You saw her video, by the way, of her getting yanked down the stairs.
Yeah,
didn't you?
It's awesome. It's one of the best things ever. There are a bunch of vines of people showing themselves being the ones that pulled her, like holding a black thing and not understanding what the director's telling them on the headphones and then yanking
her
up.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. Geez. Poor lady. She took a real dive, though. That was.
She did. That gnarly. Looked like it really hurt, and I'm glad she's doing fine. And not only doing fine, but. Got back up and started singing again in a fake accent. So good for her.
Well, you know why? It's because her muscles are weird now and she can do anything.
Somebody better check the floor and make sure the floor is okay, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And if you've seen her arms, whoo, my gosh. Yeah. Look up Madonna arms, everyone.
Sinewy.
Yeah. Sinewy is that's a kind word for it. Scary is what I'd say. Lady Gaga is in the news and she's starring in the new season of American Horror Story season 5. So to continue the trend of bringing a singer person into your show, she'll be in story. I guess this is the hotel one, American Story Hotel.
Right. And they're finding good, creepy things like an asylum is creepy and a freak show is creepy.
Yep.
And a haunted house is creepy.
Yeah. Where do you go after this? Where would you pick? I know what I'd pick.
A DMV.
Ooh,
American
that's pretty
Horror
creepy.
Story DMV.
I like it. Ma'am, get to the back of the line. Bah, bah, bah.
That's right.
For me, I think...
What's your thing?
I'd go a carnival, like an old abandoned theme park. That's what I'd do.
Well, they did... Freak Show was kind of like that. So it was like a...
Oh, that's right. The one season I haven't seen. What am I thinking?
Yeah, it's a carnival, but they just have a lot of freaks. They do have a Ferris wheel, although you never see anybody selling tickets or riding it.
All right.
So, let me think moving.
Let me think of another one. How about... Oh, man, what's left? See, this is my old point. Are they all out of ideas? What else is crazy? An abandoned school. That doesn't really work, though.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of something like that, because we had one in Boulder, man, that was just creepy. Like, it was this old abandoned school up in Boulder, and you would drive up there and get out of the car to look at it, and it would just give you chills. Like,
really?
That was the only reason you drive up to that part of Boulder is just to see that thing and go
gross. I don't like stuff like that at all. There's a town, like a little suburban kind of offshoot that the Mythbusters use all the time to go test cars and stuff, and it used to be an actual prefab neighborhood where a bunch of workers worked for the government, and then when that whole thing got pulled, they just abandoned it. So it's like a big abandoned neighborhood. And it is freaking weird to look. I don't like that feeling at all of a giant neighborhood that looks in all other ways like a normal Americana neighborhood, completely devoid of any life. That is just weird to me.
Wow. Yeah, that is creepy. Yeah. So there you go. So American Horror Story, Ghost Town.
Oh, that'd be all right. Yeah.
Somebody suggested prison in the chat room.
Oh, prison would be great.
Denny's, a library.
The Denny's. That's not bad. Denny, I like the prison's a perfect pick.
Prison's really good, yeah.
Yeah, that's totally nailing it. I mean, it's not that far from Asylum, I guess, but it's close enough.
And it could be long enough since they did Asylum that they could do something kind of similar to that again.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. The hotel, interesting. So it'll be like a old Renaissance-y kind of hotel that hasn't been updated. And
mm-hmm. I'm guessing a lot of
The Shining.
Shining, hotel, yeah. The Shining. I guess, except less Colorado and mountainy and more, city-ish, or I don't know. Like you said, something that's like from an older era that's being fixed up and has a bunch of dead people in it. Netflix, finally in the news. Netflix, they're great. We love Netflix. Well,
yes, we do.
We talked earlier about how they're probably bringing back the DuckTales business and the.
Oh, right.
By the way, I'm getting a lot of heat for me not loving Animaniacs.
DuckTales and Animaniacs.
Yeah. You know what? I can tell you why. I can tell you exactly why I didn't like it. It's not because of the music or the writing. The writing and the music is great. There's some humor there. All that stuff's fine. And I liked that they were trying to reinvent kind of these Looney Tunes again, especially with Animaniacs. That was great. Sure. However, here's the problem. Oh, my voice.
Wow.
It's this. The animation looked like crap compared to what they were trying to riff off of, which was the older stuff. The older stuff, really hard to beat, and I understand that the budgets aren't great. Maybe it can do better now than they could have in the 90s, but it just looked choppy and crappy to me, and I couldn't deal with that. It looked like fake Looney Tunes animation, not real Looney Tunes animation. The quality just wasn't there for me, and that never... I am such a picky person about animation. Like, when it's on purpose stiff, fine. Mm-hmm. Where it fits, fine. That's cool. Or it's fluid and it fits, fine.
Because it's lazy, or it's farmed out to some some group that doesn't care.
Yes, like direct-to-DVD Disney movies.
Yes, yeah.
You know the kind, like if you go and you see, I don't know, Mulan, and then you get a direct-to-DVD Mulan thing, there's no comparison.
The direct-to-DVD sequels that come out, yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's why I had a problem with it. Other than that, it's totally fine. And then I would just say this. It's okay if you guys like it. It's totally fine. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that someone likes that stuff.
Yeah, more for you.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. I'll admit I'm a snob on the animation. I admit it. All right, anyway, Netflix. They've ordered Inspector Gadget, a reboot. And Danger Mouse. What?
Matthew Broderick stole Inspector Gadget. We're taking it back.
Awesome. They've attempted to meet... They're wanting to reach more kids. They got a lot of adult stuff. Now they've ordered 5 new kid shows. This includes remakes of beloved series like Inspector Gadget and Danger Mouse. The series already aired on broadcast TV in Europe. We'll make a premiere here in the USA.
So it's already out there.
Yeah, Netflix, I feel like they're cheating a little bit. They do this a lot. Get a lot of British stuff and then put Netflix original on it when they bring it over. It's kind of weird. But if you like that stuff, if you like the dude what could have a bunch of robot arms, then you're into that cartoon.
Go, Gadget Copter.
Yeah, he was great. Wasn't that, what's his name from Get Smart?
Don Adams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Tennessee Tuxedo. I was pleased to discover that Danger 5 is now available streaming on Netflix.
What's Danger 5? Tell me.
It is this Australian import TV show. I think maybe 6 episodes. It's a short season that is a send-up of 60s spy TV shows. Mm. And it is
you told fantastic. Me to watch this before.
Yes.
The one with Hitler in it and stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
You must see this.
Well, it's streaming, so you say? It's streaming?
It's streaming.
Oh, well, then I don't have an excuse.
I'm sorry, not streaming Netflix. It's Hulu is streaming it.
I'll watch it. Do I need Hulu Plus?
Oh, you might. Do you not have Hulu Plus?
I canceled it, remember? Don't you remember my big rant on the show about how pissed I was at Hulu? Do you remember that?
I don't write these things down.
Yeah, I had a total blowout with those guys.
When you completely cut your cord, those are the things you got to have, or Hulu Plus. And yeah. Can you get everything you want, just regular Hulu?
Yeah, I get, well, not everything. They have stuff they block behind it. The problem with Hulu, though, the reason I didn't want to pay for it anymore is the commercial thing is one thing. I can live with that, okay? If you're going to play commercials, I can live with it. I can also kind of live with it. They're the same 8 commercials 5,000 times.
God, oh, it's the most painful thing.
Yeah, I kind of can live with that. What I can't live with was them telling me, no matter what device I did it on, telling me that I was cheating and blocking ads when I don't even have the power to do that on a Roku or an Apple TV.
Right.
And it did it so often, so many times, I said, that's freaking it. I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah, and it would make me sit there for a minute and a half while this counter counted down as my punishment for a thing I didn't do.
Right. That's right. I do remember that now. I didn't have to write that down to remember the technical issue we're having. People have been correcting me, though. It is Netflix. It's not Hulu.
Oh,
so
good. Good.
We're back in the clear.
We're fine. I like Netflix. Yes. They treat me good.
Watch it. It is. I wish I would have known that it was streaming before Wednesday, because I would have... That would have been my free-for-all recommendation, my recommendal.
You would have recommended that shit.
Recommended it.
Hey, Flight, backseat with you, buddy. Back burner. That's for right. You. No way. That's you're right. Getting recommended this time.
Go back to the bar, Denzel. I'm going to talk about Danger 5.
Yeah, go away, John Goodman, if that is your real name.
That's right.
All right, well, cool. I'm actually very excited. Because you talked a big talk about that
this
early.
This is great. This is some of the most goofy and fun... Yeah. TV you're going to watch in a long time. I mean, it is over the top in such a good way.
Well, good. I'll watch it.
The guy that runs this group is a guy with an eagle for a head. Like, he has an eagle's head.
Oh, wow. Really?
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's...
Done.
It's not just tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it's like Thunderbolt or Thunderbirds.
Oh, yeah. The puppeteer stuff.
Puppets, except real live people.
Oh, great.
How's that? That's probably even better comparison.
Okay. That's great. You know what? If you just said to me, hey, Scott, I have a show for you. Features a guy with an eagle head. I think that's all I need.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Okay. I could have stopped it. You had me at eagle head.
You had me at eagle head. Yeah. Sounds like a place you'd go visit, doesn't it? Oh, we went to Eaglehead this weekend.
Eaglehead.
Good
great.
Time. Yeah. Good times at Eaglehead.
The kids went camping up at Eaglehead.
That's totally it.
We got ticks.
Hey, look, Squarespace today sponsoring today's PM edition of the show. They were going to do this morning, but hey, we didn't have a show this morning. So now they're doing it now. I want you guys to go over to squarespace.com and build your own Danger 5 website. It's like a devoted fan site to them and any other cool things you like, because that's what they let you do. And they let you do it with amazing templates. People are going to see your site and go, dude, how'd you learn how to make such a rad site? And you can just tell them that you're super skilled, but really you use Squarespace the entire time and trick those losers. It's awesome. You can get a free trial without a credit card. And if you decide to stay, use Morning at checkout for 10% off. That's all the e-commerce tools, the registration tools, all the templates, the mobile design, all that stuff. 10% off. Use the code MORNING. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Dan, the game board man. The board
Yay.
Game man.
Board game man.
Yeah.
He's not a board. He's no. Not bored with his games.
Not at all. But then your questions on Twitter. We'll get to all that in a second. But before Yay. All that, Brian has music.
I do. This one is going out to Steve. Says, Dear Poop Jokes and Brian. We have a couple of these now. For no good reason, and because Brian will play anything if the mood hits, see Edward Furlong, I would love to hear an interesting cover of the Love and Rockets song, No New Tale to Tell. I'll skip the English food, though. Signed, Steve. Please do. Love and Rockets. This was, you know, one of those tangentially related bands to Bauhaus and Tones on Tail. David J., had a good solo career. Daniel Ash, great band, and probably best known for a song called So Alive in the 80s. If you don't know that one, go back and look it up. But that's not what we're going to play. We're going to play a cover of No New Tale to Tell. It was another song from that same album, that same Love and Rockets album. It's covered here from a tribute to Love and Rockets called New Tales to Tell. It came out in 2009. It's a band called Black Audio, spelled with a Q. B-L-A-Q-K audio. That makes it easy.
Weird.
It is No New Tale to Tell.
That's super weird. All right, here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Stuff.
That's a song I love anyway. Just I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's if there are a few songs that dust off and bring out my 80s origins, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
There's just something about that era that perfectly describes me. Fantastic pick. All right. Hey, good. I've been having the back and forth on Twitter here with people about animation and what's good and what sucks.
Okay.
Here's a good way for me to show what I'm talking about. If you go back and watch the early Tom and Jerry stuff, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer stuff that was produced.
Who was that?
Well, yeah. Hanna-Barbera did a bunch of it, and other people. This is long before their Hanna-Barbera, some would call it their heyday. I would call it their decline, but whatever. That early stuff, amazing. Any old Warner Brothers stuff, amazing. Chuck Jones, those guys, just amazing, right? Then you get into like the Scooby-Doo era. Mm-hmm. It's all shit.
Oh, I love the Scooby-Doo stuff.
Maybe I like it ironically, but it's not good. It's badly made. I'm not talking about the writing or the ideas or the characters. The craft of it.
Fewer frames drawn. Yeah.
The craft got lost for a while. That's all I'm getting at.
And so reused. Like, I mean, they would stick a new head on somebody and just reuse their animation, their cells.
Mm-hmm. It was just bad. Like He-Man had five different little cuts and they would use the same cuts in every episode. Like it just wasn't good.
Flintstones good or bad?
Flintstones is good. Mm-hmm. Not because the animation is like super fluid or high quality, but because it matches the content. And that's all I'm getting at. Like if you give me South Park, obviously, that looks like crude, crappy animation, but it's on purpose. Yeah, it's on purpose. And some would even argue that we only accept that now because the stuff earlier we're nostalgic for, and South Park cues in on some of that. And that's maybe even possible. I don't know. But when you were trying to be self-serious and purposeful with your animation and wanted it to be like the revivals of the Tom and Jerry stuff was always so bad. And it was bad because they couldn't capture that glory. Why? Because they weren't willing to spend the money or the talent to do it.
to actually do the animation the right way.
It's a little totally snobby. I get that I'm a little snobby about it, but I don't know. It's just a feel thing, you know?
You're such a cartoon snob.
Like, I'd watch Super Friends with you right now, but I can't tell you it was good.
Oh, God. Yeah, the animation on that was horrible.
It was horrible, but we love it because it's almost because it's terrible. So it's that kind of stuff. Lots of reusing. I don't know. You can watch some of that really old Walter Lantz stuff and Chuck Jones and who's the other guy? Tex
Chuck
Avery.
Jones, that's the name that I was trying to remember. Oh, yeah, Tex Avery.
Tex Avery. Any of those guys. You watch some of their stuff. They are the masters. Mm-hmm. And they had everything they needed to make amazing work. It just got bad. Like, I want to say 72 through about 86 is a real dark place for animation. It's a bad time. Early 90s started to kind of pull out of it. And now we have amazing things that happen in animation these days.
Yeah.
Both purposefully bad and awesomely sweet.
I mean, all the Studio Ghibli stuff. Mm-hmm. You got Archer.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Adult things. Yeah. The Simpsons changed everything. Everybody else piled on and made amazing stuff. Like, it's just a great time for people who love animation. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, in the 80s, that stuff was taking a dump. Anyway, let's get Dan in here.
Okay.
Get him in here. Brighten the mood.
Is it a bad mood?
No,
I think it's a bad mood.
I just my voice is so shitty. I feel like I can't talk right. Oh. Other than that, though, it's fine. All right, here he comes. Here comes Dan. He's the man. I still don't have a theme for him. I should give him a theme. Oh, maybe I do have a theme. Hold on, Dan. Don't say anything yet. You just sit right there, buddy. You don't make a move. Hold on, where is this? Here it is. Let's play this. Yeah, we used to do this on TFS. Oh, look, everybody. It's Dan Patrice. He plays a lot.
The tribe has spoken.
The tribe has spoken. Dan is here. He is not queer, and he's get used to it. I don't know what that means. Dan Patrice is here to talk about board games and tabletop stuff and all that stuff. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
We're all right. I feel like a total chode today, but I'll get over this. I'll get
past
it.
Sounds like it, dude. You sound like I feel, man.
Yeah. Well, you're a guy that knows these things. If somebody comes into your pharmacy, or let's say you're there or whatever, what are your over-the-counter recommendations for somebody with like a hideous cold?
Well, I first thing you got to ask like the different symptoms, because people will use the word cold for just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will be dying and I just got a little cold. So that's you have stuff in your chest or is it in your nose?
It's a little chesty. It's like down on my bottom of my neck and then just kind of early chesty down there.
You coughing up any goblins or
just a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, they laugh the whole way out, too, the little bastards. They got a bunch of gems, though, so if I can kill them, they drop a lot of gems, which is nice. Anyway.
I'm Miss Flemmy.
Yeah, little Diablo joke for people there. Anyway, go ahead.
They do have, you see a lot of those commercials for a product called Mucinex.
Yeah.
Which is guafenicin. It's basically the same ingredient. Regular Mucinex without the DM. It's just the same ingredient that you get in, like, Robitussin and stuff like that. What's weird about guafenicin is that it's never actually been proven to work any better than water for loosening up that gunk in your chest.
Really?
So I always tell people, I mean, you can save your money, take a lot of water. People are still going to use some Robitussin, and it may work. You know, they don't really study that sort of stuff anymore because, you know, it's already sells itself, so they don't really worry about reproving it. So, you know, plenty of fluids, get that gunk out of there.
Yeah.
If you're running a fever, obviously get some Motrin because that's going to get some of the inflammation down you may have in your chest as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously plenty of rest.
Sure. I took a couple of naps today. It kind of helped.
Did you have that procedure, or was that last week?
That was, which one? What was I having
your
done?
Tooth?
Oh, that. No, it was supposed to be today at 2:30, and I canceled it because there's no way I was going to sit there and cough for 2 hours.
Last thing is anybody wants to do is stick their hands in that.
Yeah, I'll do that. They reschedule
especially,
it.
Especially laughing gas and coughing and sharp things in your mouth. That's not
I got to ask for the gas next time. I hate the dentist so bad. I always forget to ask for the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I was getting my wisdom teeth taken out, and the guy's like, well, we could put you under, and it'll cost you this, or we can give you some gas in a local, and it won't cost you nearly as much. I was like, well, how long is it going to take? He said 20 minutes. I was like, for $500, I'll save the money. Just shoot me up. Because, I could suffer through just about anything for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's all I did. I mean, I've actually never, I say all this, but I've never actually had happy gas or the laughing gas, not even once. So I don't even know what it's like. For all I know, it's, terrible. I have no idea. My kids did it once, or one of my kids did it for, all three of them did it for their wisdom teeth. But when I had my teeth out, they just freaking did it. They didn't care. They didn't put me out or nothing. So I don't know. I hate it. I hate the dentist. I hate it. and I'm kind of glad I had to cancel it, to be honest.
Did they give you a little something for the anxiety beforehand, or no?
No, they don't give you jack. I got to go in there with my own. I got to go talk to Vito on the corner and get me something sweet.
A lot of docs sometimes will give you a little bit of Ativan or Xanax for. Usually it's Ativan is what they'll give for like the night before, and then like 30 minutes before, just to ease you out a little bit.
Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Yeah. I hate it so bad. Ooh. It's not even that big a deal. It's a crown. I shouldn't worry about it. It's not that.
Yeah,
big
deal. We'll just tell them to get. You know, most of these places. Have you seen all these dentist offices that are putting TVs in there?
Oh yeah, yeah. They told me I can bring a Blu-ray. And
Oh, yours has Blu-ray. Mine just has regular DVD, but they've got a thing hovering over. I brought a Futurama disc today, and we actually never even got to it. We started talking about Japan, and she's like, "Oh yeah, well there's this," and I said, "Oh yeah, there's such a great culture and blah blah blah." And we never put the DVD in.
Oh dang it! Well, that sucks.
No, that's all right. Actually, yeah. I'd much rather interact than than try and struggle to listen to Bender talk over the drilling going on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cleaning thing.
So one last thing I'll say about this is one thing I do like about our dentist. He's super into the latest tech, so he's always installing like new scanners and all this, and I like that because I feel like he's ahead of the curve. But my favorite thing is this is the kind of crown that in the old days, or for some dentists, you go in, they fit you for it, they put a temp in there, and then you got to come back 3 weeks later when the lab's done with it, and hopefully it fits and all that stuff. Right? They send out to have it done. This one, he's got like a 3D printer fabricator machine that takes this solid piece of enamel stuff with a screw on it, puts it in this machine, and he does the scan in the office, walks in the other room, tells the computer, yeah, that scan, that's the tooth we want. Freaking prints out, carves out this finished tooth. He pulls it out of there, sticks it in my mouth, we're out, we're done.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat.
It would be a lot better if it was a Swedish tooth instead of a Finnish tooth.
That's what I'm saying. You know why? Because the Finnish one's all see-through. It's terrible. It's all transparent. Dan, sorry. I didn't mean to take us on that long road.
Man.
But what have you this week? What do you bring us?
I got some other news, but you had mentioned the Thunderbirds, Ibbit. Mm-hmm. There's a company that just put a Kickstarter up for a Thunderbirds game. A cooperative board game. Yeah. I've never heard of the company or the guy, Chris Birch and Modifius. But you can look on Kickstarter. Just do a search for Thunderbirds. And what's cool about it, it's made by Matt Leacock. Now, you guys may remember, he's the guy that made Pandemic, Forbidden Island, and Forbidden Desert. So this actually might be a pretty good cooperative game. I haven't really seen seen much because things like the Thunderbirds, I mean, this is kind of before our time a little bit, but those puppets scared the bejesus out of me.
Oh, me too, dude.
Yeah, they were a little weird. Yeah, for sure.
They had that quality. Well, Team America has the same thing, and obviously in that case on purpose, but they have that stare into space problem. It's just, freaky.
Right. But it doesn't look all that expensive, and it might actually turn out to be a pretty good board game. And it's already funded, so you know you're getting a product. I think they made, and I think they're in pounds. I think they made almost 100,000 pounds.
Wow.
I think that's about 10 bucks over here.
I think that's the trend. Yeah, I think that is the conversion, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I want to mention to you guys is Tabletop Day this year is going to be April 11th, International Tabletop Day. So a lot of stores are starting to get their kits. They've got the different promo kits. There's some pretty cool promos in there. There's a Felicia Day promo from Dead of Winter.
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool. There's another promo from Castle Panic. Of course, there's Wheaton and Felicia Day promos for Flux. And I think there's a whole bunch of different promos in there. And I think this Will Wheaton one that's from Seven Wonders might be an old one, but I think that's in there as well. So there's all sorts of promos and stuff that your friendly local game store can get. So April 11th, make sure you get to the stores and partake.
Who founded that business? Who came up with this name and got this going? Was it?
Oh, they did. The Tabletop, Geek & Sundry started.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. So, but is it widely received worldwide as a thing that now everyone should celebrate in April?
I mean, everybody in the board game community talks about it all the time. I mean, you give people an excuse to play board games, and they will embrace the heck out of it.
Yeah. The reason I ask is maybe we should all start Board Game Wednesday and use our promo code Dan to save $5 on something. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if you're the first to suggest Free Comic Book Day or the first to suggest Tabletop Day. Like, I wonder what the future of that is. In 20 years, will old man Wheaton be rewarded for his his great idea? I don't know.
I hope, because, I mean, watching those shows is great, and you just can't put a price on how much they bring to the community and to the board game Because, I mean, like I said before, the Will Wheaton effect, I mean, it just instantly sells out every game they put up on tabletop.
Yeah, I picked up Quirkle just based on watching him play that on his show.
What's it called? Quirkle?
Quirkle. Yep.
Yeah. I also,
and that's in a mass market, too. You can get that's actually a really fun light family game.
It really is, yeah.
My favorite sugar-coated cereal, really, if you want to get right down to it.
Get stuck in your teeth, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
So the game I wanted to tell you guys about is a game that I'm really, really excited about. I got to play it. It's coming over from Poland, and I'm not sure of what other country, but it's kind of hard to find, but it's going to be here soon. It's called Mysterium. I can't give you the pronunciation in Polish, but it's like... Tajamaze Domostowo. I mean, that's the Polish name for it.
Sounds good to me.
But
jeez,
it's,
nice
but it's
job.
Called Mysterium. Okay. I'm going to throw in the, let's see, I'll throw it in a chat for you, a nice review, because it's got some good pictures that I'll show to you. Basically, the game is, it's Clue meets Dixit. Now, it's kind of like a party game where...
I've heard of Clue.
Well, you may not have heard of Dixit. It's kind of another party game. It's got some, you're kind of getting people to guess different things based on these cards that have... very abstract art to it. If you go to that link, you can see some of the art, because the art is a lot of the same in this. And what's really cool is, okay, so one person, let's just say me, and we'll and you guys are four people, you guys and your wives, and I'm running the game of Mysterium. So I'm dead. I'm a ghost, and you guys are psychics, and I'm trying to communicate each night. You know, the rounds are called like basically the daytime and the night. So I'm trying to communicate with you guys how I was killed, where I was killed, and who killed me. But each one of you guys is going to kind of have a different person, place, and thing. So, you know, I've got the randomly assigned what it is. And then in the middle, there's three more than the number of people. So it would be like seven. There would be seven implements of murder out there. So it would be like a gun, knife, and all sorts of things, the cards up top. Okay. So then I'm going to give every one of you guys either one, two, or three. You can kind of house rule, but how many of these cards. Now, the cards are the art. If you'll see kind of halfway down during that review, you'll see some of the real abstract art. Now, it's got some real... weird images on there. There's going to be colors on there. Just kind of the overall feel of it. Now, I'm going to try to communicate with you guys which one you guys are trying to guess. And then you'll basically flip over the cards each kind of at the same time. And you guys can communicate. So they have this whole thing. And I'm trying not to give anything away. Like, you know, I've got to sit there poker-faced while I'm playing with you guys and not give anything away. So I can't have Ibbot goes, I really think I'm a gun. And you're looking over at me, seeing what...
And you smile. Yeah, right.
So then each round, everybody makes a guess. And then I'll say who's got what right. And then if you get the implement right, you go on to the room, you know, where the murder occurred. And if you get that right, and if you don't get it right, basically you've got to try again. I've got to give you more images while you sleep. So you've got seven rounds to get all these right. And what happens once everybody's got their... person, place, and thing correct, you basically take all those four people and you kind of shuffle them up, and you have like one last round where you've got to figure out who is actually the right person who did it. And so then everybody's working together. This game, it's kind of revolutionary, and it's going to be a lot of games of the year. I already think it's absolutely fantastic. I actually really love being the ghost and trying to get people to guess the things, but both ways of playing it are just great. And you know, instead of having people come over, Scott, and you got to worry about if the server for you don't know Jack is up, you can whip out something like Mysterium.
God, did you hear and, you about know, my nightmare with that? That pissed me off so bad. The one thing you mentioned, but we haven't really cued in or focused on this, is the freaking art is amazing on this thing.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Beautiful painterly stuff. Like, that alone makes me want to buy this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every one of them. And they just kind of elicit every one of them. It's funny how when you look at these, you may look at the color, or you may just have this overall feel to them. But all the pictures are so cool. Yeah. And like I mentioned, Dixit, a lot of people are saying, just to keep this game fresh, because the game comes with a ton of the art and the pictures. Yeah. But you can take like the Dixit art and just shuffle them on in there, and you get even more replayability.
That's amazing. I wonder if they'll any talk of like expansion content where they'll get a bunch of new cards and a bunch of new art and that kind of stuff.
So. Oh yeah, we've talked to the creator, the guy that owns Portal Games, Ignacy Cevicek, and they've got so many things in mind for what they can do for this game. I mean, there are already so many people fighting over the rights of, I think Lebeled or Portal may be bringing it over here. It's 2 to 7 players, probably about an hour. That's what's also great, but this is going to be a huge moneymaker. So I'm sure they'll have a whole bunch of stuff that they're going to put out for it.
Well, way to go, Poland, man.
Yeah,
look, oh,
yeah.
Look at Poland. Do you know what else that Poland's company, good at lately? They're kicking butt in video games. They're doing like really inventive things with all kinds of mediums right now. I don't know what's happening in Poland, but it's awesome to see.
Yeah, and this guy, Ignacy Chevacek, from Portal Games, he's the guy that made the Witcher adventure game that came out.
Oh, no way. No way. So, that's cool.
I mean, he's got his hand in everything. They did Imperial Settlers, which was our podcast game of the year for last year.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that another day because that takes more than just a few minutes to get to that goodness.
How is that Witcher thing? Do you have any...
It's a ton of fun. I mean, I like to kind of say like Eldritch or Arkham Horror, but with the Witcher universe.
Yeah.
So it's got a real immersive story that's going on, yet there's some gamey stuff there too, where you're kind of leveling up and getting skills and moving around. And it's not too cutthroat, but it's also not really cooperative either. Mm-hmm. So you're all trying to do your things and defeat monsters and skill up. It's just so much fun.
It's really cool. Well,
I really recommend that game a lot.
Awesome. All right. Well, there you go. It's called, how do you pronounce it? Tale of what?
Well, you just look for Mysterium. Yeah. Just Mysterium. Okay. I would either put a little bookmark on Amazon or any of like Cool Stuff Inc. for when they start coming in stock, because I think it should be pretty soon. Now that con season is heating up, it'll probably. I think they have one copy that I saw today on Amazon. I mean, it's worth $80, but I wouldn't pay. You know, you can wait for it, but it is that good.
Yeah, good. Worth the 80, but you know the deals are coming.
Oh yeah. They'll be there soon.
Fair enough. Looks awesome, and always reminded that BoardGameGeek.com needs an upgrade. Okay, great. Moving on.
Oh yeah.
sweet. Dan, anything else going on in your world before we cut you free here?
Well, you can follow me on Fartner.
You know, your farts have always been the ones I like the most, so. Can't click that like button fast enough on Dan's Fartner page.
But check us out, thegeekallstars.com, the podcast. We just put up a new episode last night where we talk about the Golden Geek Awards. They just came up this week and all the games that got, all the different categories of Game of the Year and Strategy Game. And we also, I put up that panel that I moderated that I was telling you guys about with Mike Fitzgerald and Richard Lanius. So check that out and Geek Jock Blog on Twitter.
All right, well, I'm going to do all those things along with all the listeners. Let's all follow Dan, everybody.
Yes.
Dan, take it easy. It's always good to have you, dude.
Hey, feel better, and Ibbit, have a good week, buddy.
Thanks, man.
You too.
There you go.
Cool.
There goes Dan. And here goes the song. You know what that is, right? What that song
is?
It's
Uncharted, isn't it?
It is. Oh, my gosh. It makes me excited for Uncharted 4. That game's coming, you know, this fall.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to do some quick Twitter questions. These come to us at the AskTMS hashtag on Twitter. And we have a little theme for it even. This just goes like this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
There goes tweet.
That guy on Twitter lied.
There you go. why is this not logging me in? Come on now, Twitter. Don't be like this. Don't be that way. Oh, here we go. Okay, I got it. Let's start with one of these. Here's a good one. Daniel Barker wrote in, says, what happened to the geek food segment? I really enjoyed it. Mainly the girls have been bombed. Sarah had to start doing some, regular hourly work. They got bombed, man. Kim definitely wants to bring something back, and we're in sort of cahoots about what that may be. And there is some talk that, Carter wants to produce a YouTube channel for them. So it may shift to that.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, and cooking is very visual, and that may be a good place for it. So we'll see.
Totally.
Keep your eye on the prize. We'll let you know. L. Ray wrote in, heard you like impressions. Have you heard this? Now he gives me a link. We love impressions.
Now, how it works here is.
Oh, yeah. This is the one with Kevin Spacey. We've heard his stuff. That's really good. Yeah, we have heard his. His are
Kevin Spacey's great. Holy cow. His Christopher Walken.
It's unbelievable.
That he did when he was hosting SNL. It was amazing.
Yep. He's really, really good. What is your guilty pleasure food? Asks Tech Garza. All right, Brian, what's your guilty pleasure food?
Yeah. I mean, my favorite food's sushi, but I don't feel guilty about eating sushi. Probably Ding Dongs, Hostess Ding Dongs.
Oh, that's, you know what? Ding Dongs, despite their waxy, crappy crap, they are good.
Yeah, especially if you freeze them.
Yeah, that's a good one.
They're really good frozen.
For me, it's the Snyder's. You know the Snyder's brand
pretzels.
Of pretzels? It's the ones that are hot wing flavored.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
with the powder
gosh.
All over them.
Yes, dude. They're so good.
Yeah.
But they're so bad. I mean, they're so bad for me. If I eat too many of those, like if I eat more than a handful of them, I'm up all night. They give me heartburn.
Sure.
I just feel like crap eating those. But man, I love them. So yeah, that's probably my favorite. Plus, they get stuff all over your keyboard if you're playing video games and you're eating those.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you can't do that. No Cheetos, no Snyder's mustard or hot buffalo wing or anything like that.
My wife. Don't tell her I said that. My wife says that. So usually she encourages me to play to raid. Like she wants me to go raid. She loves it. She thinks it's great that I have this outlet. Mm-hmm. She's forbidding me from raiding tonight.
I'm not surprised. If she didn't, I probably would. Myself,
I show up going, "Hey guys, what's going on?"
Yeah, you need sleep, you need rest, and lots of it.
Yeah, so I'll do that tonight. All right, here's another one. Where's this one? All right, here's one. Jeff Kent. He says, "What are some rookie mistakes that newbie freelancers for art and design make or might make? Any tips?" Rookie mistakes. All right, I'll give you some Photoshop rookie mistakes.
Okay.
Keep your everything in layers.
Yeah.
Save often and keep everything in layers because you want to do non-destructible work. And that means, you know, if you flatten a bunch of layers, you're screwed and you can't change it or fix it. What would you say? You got one?
Comic Sans. Avoid it.
Don't use that. Avoid it like the plague.
Being disciplined. Like that's the first thing. When you start working for yourself doing freelance, the first thing that that you've got to work on is being disciplined enough to say, oh yeah, that new video game that just came out, I'd really love to play that, but I'll put in a couple hours of video game and then I'll get to my freelance work.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, it's hard. Avoid those temptations. Mm-hmm. Also, another big rookie mistake is saying yes to a project you know you shouldn't say yes to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people think that it's bad to say no. You actually want to learn how to say no. It's important.
I have such a hard time saying no, and I've
you and me both, man. Me and you both.
There's one customer that you and I probably both know that I made some mistakes with because it was way out of my league.
Yeah. And even then, even if it's way in your league, if they're underpaying or if it's too much time on top of other projects you have, it's really hard to get over that feeling that you're somehow shutting off some awesome potential. And eventually you start to learn, you want to be treated fairly. You want to get fair price for what you do. And it's okay to say no to the wrong project. There's just nothing wrong with that. I'm getting better at it every year that goes by. Here's one from Saint JW who says, cool. Scott, can you say hello to my wife, Melody? She loves the sound of your voice. Does she love it tonight, though? What a great time for that.
Yeah.
Yes, here, I'm going to do a special. We're going to have a special moment with Melody, okay?
Okay, all right.
Hold on a second. Let's get, I want to get the proper mood set here. All right, here we go. How about this one?
Not that.
That wasn't supposed
to. Right mood.
That wasn't supposed to play. Here we go. All right. Hello, Melody. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
All right.
Hope she enjoyed it.
I would have worried if you would have played the Barry White stuff, but that's what I was really kind of hoping for.
No. Can't get enough of your love, babe. Heather wrote in, says, where do the foodie sound clips come from? I detect some Trek. Okay, so she's talking about these. Just play them real quick.
Are you hungry?
Okay, that's Sylvester Stallone in Rocky III? No, four, five. Rocky V.
Five, right, because he's offering to make something for his son who's visiting.
So that's that one.
Are you hungry?
All right, the next one is this one.
Aren't you hungry?
That's just a dude from a commercial from the 40s. Mm-hmm. I don't know his name or what the food even was. It was about somebody being hungry. And then finally.
Watch a foodie.
It was some guy on CNN or something.
Right.
He was the Snoopy Poopy
the
Poop
Snoopy
Dog.
Snoopy Poop Dog guy, right? Yeah.
Which, if you haven't heard that, I'm going to play that just for fun. Here you go.
Smoke.
No.
Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
There it is. Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog. It was some old man complaining about Snoop Dogg and you know.
Hey, I'm old and out of touch. What's a foodie? I don't care about your new terms.
That guy's great. That guy is a favorite of the show. So that's where that came from. So I hope that answers your question, Heather. We got time for one more here. Let's do. Here's a good one. This is a great one, Brian.
All right.
Matt McChesney, who is touring this summer with the country band. I'm just kidding. It sounds like a country name.
He does, yes.
He says, when did you finally realize being a nerd was an okay thing to be? This is a really great thing to ask, because today we're just having this conversation. There's this neighbor kid who I think the world of. He's this kid named Cameron. Mm-hmm. And he's just the sweetest kid. I think he's 10 or something. Really nice kid. is really into comics, really into Pokemon, really into a bunch of these things, but feels very nervous around his friends because he thinks he's getting to that age where he's not supposed to like these things anymore.
Right, right.
And I am making it my personal mission to give him extra comics, to ask him how he's doing. I do not want to see him do that thing that kids sometimes do, which is, you know, turn on themselves in order to fit in.
Yes, right. To try and pretend that there's something not that they're not, so that they can avoid getting the the label of being a nerd.
And if one kid picks on him, I swear, Brian, there are a few things I think I would lose my control over.
You
but
will
if
come
I,
unglued.
I will lose it, dude.
The beast.
The other parent is going to be ticked because I'm just going to scare the living shite out of whoever
Ooh,
picks
will
on this
slap
kid.
A kid?
I don't think I'd slap him.
Like on that TV show. What's that TV show?
There's
a TV show about a slap, and I can't remember what the name of the show is.
I think it's called The Clap. No, no. It's called The Pap Smear. No, that's not it either. But I will scare the shit out of a kid if I have to, if he's picking on somebody else. I absolutely will. But anyway, this reminded me of that, but also when I was younger, I think I didn't feel this way. I don't think I felt like it was okay until my 20s, to be honest. I mean, I always liked what I liked, and I tried to have friends that were into what I was into, but you got to understand, the environment in 1987 was not the same as it is now. Like, if you're not a nerd now, you're something wrong with you.
Right, right.
We almost have reverse discrimination in
that
way.
Yeah, the when is almost, you know, you can't really answer that as a day and age, right? Or a time in your life that you thought that it was okay. I mean, basically, it's okay to be a nerd, just flat out. You know, it's not
maybe the question is better. When did other people around us stop giving a crap about what we did or stop giving us a hard time? For me, it was my 20s because that's about when everybody started going, oh, yeah, The Matrix is cool. It's kind of like comic books. Hey, I like comic books. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. Like a lot of that happened. So I feel like the answer to the question is, when did other people stop giving me heat for it? And that was about then. Because I always loved it. I always wanted to be a nerd, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I always was a nerd. Well,
I guess we weren't. I mean, I didn't want to be a nerd per se. I just wanted to like what I liked. And
not get judged or picked on for it, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, basically, once you get out of high school and there's those labels and those cliques and those people who feel so insecure about themselves that the only way they can make themselves feel better is to degrade somebody else. That's when it's okay. Yeah. You know, it's when you. Well, it should be okay before that, right? It should be okay before you have to worry about getting those labels.
I think it's always okay.
It's always okay.
Yeah, the only problem is
that's when it was okay for me. That's when it was when I finally got out of high school and I didn't have to worry about those stupid labels.
Yeah, those buttholes could all go away. Who now are like, yeah, man, I'm going to see Avengers 2, man.
Right.
Yeah, where were you in high school when you told me I was a dweeb for reading comics, you butthole? See, look, some of that anger's still there, man. That's right.
Little bit.
Coming out.
You know what they're doing? You know what they're doing right now?
What?
Smoking weed every day.
That's right. All right. Brian, we are now going to leave these fine people. We've given them all we can.
I think with every passing moment, hearing your voice means we've got to let you go and get some rest.
I feel bad because that's also, I think the voice is annoying and I feel bad that it's annoying, but anyway, it is what it is. Here's the deal. We are back on Monday. We'll be back with new shows next week, and that'll be fun. And watch for a new film sack this weekend. We're doing Total Recall.
Total Recall, the old one.
Yeah, the good one.
Not the new business.
Yeah, I haven't even seen that. I don't even know what that's like. But we're going to watch the old one. We're going to be yelling 2 weeks at each other. It's going to be fantastic.
That's right.
What else? And then we'll be back.
Jazz the Moz.
Nerdtacular.com for your tickets. Get those quick. They are really going fast. That's why if I seem nervous about it, it's because they are not going to be gone. Or they're not going to be around for a long time. So if you're going to sit around and wait, I think this is not the year to do that. For some reason, for whatever reason, I don't know why, they're going fast. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us. Even $1 a month would go so far into keeping us on the air and happy and making things happen here with this show. Thank you for all your continued support there. We really appreciate it. It means a great deal to us. And hey, for those who don't feel guilty. If you can, we get it. We understand. Mm-hmm. You know, we want you to only be able to do it if you can and if you really enjoy the content. Exactly. If you do, consider it.
Please do. Yes.
Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Keep using that, please. On Twitter, you can find us at MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. And a reminder, we have a phone number, 801-471-0462. use it. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. All right, cool. Brian, let's get the hell out of here.
Right. Now, before we do, I have a little interjection here. So last week on this very show, on this on TMSPM, we gave away the prize winner for the TMS Film Festival.
Correct.
And by the way, we're going to be announcing a new one of those pretty soon. Yep. But we have the acceptance speech. Boy, with all this Oscar nomination, Oscar ceremony stuff, I can't believe we forgot to do this. But we have his acceptance speech. If you don't mind me reading through it really quick.
No, not at all. Can I play you off as you get close to the end of it?
Yes, you certainly can.
All right, go for it.
All right. So the winner, by the way, was ironic name / EDC, David Croft. Says, first, I thank God / the universe for the gift of laughter. Second, I'd like to thank my parents for being there when I needed them. None of this would have been possible without you. Also, I'd like to thank Ibbot and Johnson, without whom the human race would be a little smaller. Thanks to the tadpole, you silly persons, for putting up with my oddness. Thanks to my buddies who co-wrote the first Expendables movie. Long story. Finally, I know I'm getting played off here, but I'm going to keep going here. Finally, I'd like to move on to apologies. I'd like to apologize to women who are offended by my depiction of 7 of 9 being a giant pair of tits. I'm sure the producers of Star Trek saw the ratings and thought, I know what the army of male virgins who watch this show want, a strong female voice, then ran out of costumes that would fit Miss Ryan. Sorry to all parents who had to watch my film with their children. Sorry to my dad who had to watch my film with me. I apologize to Kate Mulgrew. I thought you were a great captain and hot too. Scott is the one that dislikes you. I apologize to Robert Beltran for drawing a dick on your face. Scott, looked like you fell asleep and your frat friends drew on you. I apologize to all Native Americans, or as Scott would say, feather not dot Indians, for alluding to the crying Indian trash commercial. Basically, send your complaints to Johnson. Free Tibet. I love you all.
That's amazing. Oh, wait. There's the man. He goes off stage. That's amazing. That is one of my favorite acceptance speeches of all time.
Very good.
Yes, and I'm not kidding. Yeah. Like I wish real, like actual celebrities did that stuff.
Right, exactly. All right. So now let's get to the closing song, the closing music.
Yeah.
This is cool. This is going out to Stuart D. Says, hey, Strawberry and Banana. Recently, I logged on to Netflix to just do my daily binge, and I discovered that MASH had been made available. A few days later, while listening to your show, you had your unofficial MASH day on the show. It reminded me so much of growing up watching reruns of the show on Fox 13 that I began wondering if there were any covers of the MASH theme song. I knew if anyone could find it, Brian could. I'm not too fond of metal music or anything too harsh, but I do enjoy classic rock and the like. If you find anything like that, I'd be very pleased. If not, a cover of any song by Imagine Dragons would do. Keep up a great show. Sincerely, Stuart D. Kearns in the Utah.
Fox 13. Now it's all ringing a bell that he's local. All right, cool.
Oh, Fox 13, yeah.
Yeah, their local Fox affiliate. That's cool.
Sure. I've played the Manic Street Preachers version on the show before of Suicide is Painless, which is the theme to MASH, written and performed, I think, originally by Johnny Mandel for the movie with lyrics, and then later as an instrumental for the TV series. So we won't play the Manic Street Preachers version again, but that's another one that I highly recommend. One of my favorite bands from the UK, and they just do such a great job with it. This other version, though, is really cool. And vocalist is Karen Ann, who is a Hebrew singer, songwriter, composer, producer, who lives in New York now and writes and records music. I think I played a few of her covers on Coverville. She was part of a band called Lady and Bird. And for that, she recorded this back in 2003. It is a cover of Suicide is Painless by Johnny Mandel.
Oh, cool. Let's play it. Bird always reminds me of this.
Life's a joke. Shit, Bird!
There you go.
It's great.
Here it is. We'll be back next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you then.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. Game of life is hard to play. it anyway. The losing card someday lay. So this is all I have to say. Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please. The sword of time will pierce our skins. It doesn't hurt when it begins. But as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger. Watch it grin. Suicide is painless. Suicide. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please. A brave man once requested me to answer questions that is it to be or not to be? And I replied, oh, why ask me? Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please.
Shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.